Joy to be able to bring the word to you, and I've been going through the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, and this week in our sixth message we're looking at goodness. And throughout the series we've been looking at how the fruit of the Spirit are not something new in the New Testament, but something that is rooted in the Old Testament. And not only that, but how each of the fruit are really different parts of love. I was imagining love like a diamond with different facets all over it, and each facet is a different fruit on that diamond of love, if you will. And so we looked at that, and we also looked at how Christ is the vine that nourishes us and enables us to have fruit in our lives. And so we'll be looking at those again today as we look at goodness. As we've done each week, we look at the Old Testament meaning of the word, and the word goodness, as it appears in Galatians 5:22, is the word goodness, not good, but goodness. And so I looked in the Hebrew at the word goodness, and the word is tovah. And there's many different flavors of meaning to the word, and so I want to take us through those. And one of those is welfare. In Nehemiah 2, they have returned from exile. They're beginning to build again the walls around Jerusalem that have been destroyed, and the surrounding areas are not happy about this, and they come to harass them. And when they hear about the work that is going on, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the tovah, the goodness, the welfare of the people of Israel. So that's one of the meanings of tovah, is welfare, that kind of goodness. Also prosperity. In Deuteronomy 28, listen to how tovah is described here. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, tovah, in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. So this idea of prosperity in tovah. Also bounty, of a fruitful harvest. And in Psalm 65:11 it says, you crown the year with your bounty, your tovah, your goodness. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. And then also possessions are a part of this. In Ecclesiastes 5:11 it says, when goods increase, and that goods is that same word, tovah. When tovah increases, they increase who eat them, and what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes? And so this idea of tovah here, this goodness, are actually these goods, and specifically food, this goodness that we have. Also happiness. In Lamentations 3, this is after the destruction of Jerusalem, and Jeremiah is pouring out his soul in lament to the Lord, and he says, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what tovah is. I have forgotten what happiness is. I've forgotten what goodness is. Also, there are a lot of references to good words. One of those is in Jeremiah 18:20. Remember how I stood before you to speak tovah for them, to speak goodness for them, to turn away your wrath from them. And also good things. We talked about possessions and material possessions and things as being tovah, goodness, but also just things that happen, things that the Lord has done. And at the end of Genesis, you'll remember Joseph was sold into slavery, and then when it's discovered that what the Lord has done, he says it's such a good thing. He says, as for you, talking to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for tovah. God meant it for goodness. God meant it to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. And then one other way that we see tovah is in the sense of good deeds. And in Nehemiah 6, It says, also they spoke of his good deeds, tovah. In the Hebrew, it's not two different words there. That's one word, good deeds, as a translation of tovah. So they spoke of his goodness, his tovah, in my presence, and reported my words to him. And that's kind of the focus we're going to be looking at today, this idea of good works, the goodness as a fruit of the Spirit that He is working in us. It comes out in the form of these good works that we do. And we see love as the root of that in several places. I put one verse here from Luke 6, where Jesus is talking about loving your enemies, and He says, and do good. Love your enemies and do good. So you see how they're linked. And He also says, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. The thing here in Galatians 5:22, when it says goodness, one of the kind of forces behind that word there, in that context, is generosity. And so you see, as we are going about the business of having this goodness, this fruit of goodness, we are being generous because we want to bestow tovah, goodness, on others. We want to be generous in our time and our talent and treasure. And so even here we see that lending, that generosity tied into the love and the goodness that Jesus is talking about there in Luke 6. To lend, expecting nothing in return. And just as a side note, you know that's how we lend, right? Someone comes to borrow from you and you say, sure, you can borrow this, but you don't expect it back. To you, it's a gift. But it's okay for them to pay it back, right? Because if you borrowed something, you would want to pay it back, right? That's right and it's good. So don't keep them from paying you back. That's good. But in your perspective, you give without expecting in return. Okay? Now, I'm thinking about right off the bat a good man in the Old Testament that we could look at, and his name is Jehoiada. And then I spent 3 hours trying to see if there was a better thing, but no, I came right back to this. You know, Jehoiada, this is the one. This is where we're going. And so, in 2 Chronicles 22 through 24, we read about Jehoiada. And let me read the verse. Verse 16 is our focus verse today, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about that. All right, so 2 Chronicles 24:16, and they buried him, Jehoiada, in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. Now this man, Jehoiada, whoever he is, we haven't even gotten to that yet, but whoever this guy Jehoiada is, he was so honored by the people that he was buried in the city of David, Jerusalem, with the kings. Nobody else, as far as I know, who was not a king, was buried with the kings. And there were even some bad kings that they refused to bury with the kings, you know. Only the good kings, and Jehoiada is buried there. And why? Because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house. So what were these good things that he had done? Also, it does say here, I told you that tovah means goodness, right? Not just good. Tov is good. Tovah is goodness. And here in this verse where it says he had done good, that is tovah. So it is goodness. And I was like, well, you know, it doesn't read very well if you say, because he had done goodness in Israel. You know, it doesn't read well. So I looked at done, and the word done, that verb could very easily have been translated made. Okay, and so it could read, because he had made goodness in Israel. And that kind of gives you a sense that what he did was lasting. You know, if we do good, you know, we could give money to someone and they could go and eat with it, and it feels kind of temporary or something sometimes, right? It's still a good work and still something that honors the Lord. But when you say he made goodness. It just feels like it's something more foundational, more serious, more long-lasting. Okay, so let's look at some of the things that Jehoiada had done, the ways that he made goodness. And in 2 Chronicles 22, verses 11 and 12, this is where Jehoiada shows up in the story here. And let me tell you the timeline before I read it, just so you know where we're at, okay, in the history. It gets confusing in Kings and Chronicles. So where we're at is we're in Judah, and there has been a bad king, and he has been killed, okay? And his mom is Athaliah, and she is a Samaritan from Samaria. That's where Samaritans are from, Samaria. And she is evil, okay? So what she has decided to do after her son, who is the king, dies, she's decided she's going to set herself up. She's going to usurp the power. She's going to rule Judah. And in order to do that, she has to kill everybody who could be king. So she's killing all of the descendants of David. All of them. Anyone she can find. Okay? And so that's where we're at. And 2 Chronicles 22, verse 11. Thus Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram and wife of Jehoiada, the priest... There's Jehoiada, he's a priest. Because she was sister of Ahaziah, the king who just died, hid him from Athaliah, the evil queen, so that she did not put him to death. So Jehoshabeth goes in and she grabs Joash, who is in danger of being murdered, and he remained with them 6 years hidden in the house of God, that's the temple, while Athaliah reigned over the land. So this evil queen has taken control of Judah and is reigning. And Jehoiada, because his wife went in and saved her brother, Joash, the little boy king, they're protecting him, keeping him hidden. Okay? And when he's doing this good deed, this good work of hiding him, it is fulfilling the law. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. It is a good thing. When we do good work, it is obeying the law. It is living righteously. It is living holy. That is how we do good works. Okay? And so we see that Jehoiada is hiding this boy, keeping him safe, in order to prevent his murder. And so sometimes when we do good works, they're in secret. People don't know about them. He's done this thing. She doesn't even know he exists. He's hidden. Everything is okay, right? But it's hidden. It's secret. And Jesus gave instructions about doing good in secret. He said, when you give to the needy, for example, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is not saying, make sure when you do your good works, it's always in secret. That's not the point. The point is, check your heart, okay? Make sure that you're not doing things in order to get glory for yourself, okay? You need to do things. And if that's a problem, sure, do them in secret. And it's perfectly fine to do things in secret. But the focus is on the heart. Why are you doing the good thing? Do the good thing because it's right, because it honors me, God, because it glorifies me. Don't do it to glorify yourself or to get something out of it. Okay, and we struggle with that. At least I do. You know, I'm doing a good thing, and part of me is like, hey, I'm going to get, you know, a little recognition for this. People are going to pat me on the back for this. And I'm like, no, that's not why I'm doing this. Maybe I should do this in secret, right? Maybe I should do this in secret if I can, because I'm being tempted in that moment. All right, so what else did Jehoiada do? After 6 years, Jehoiada decides it's time. He stages an uprising against the evil queen in 2 Chronicles 23. And Jehoiada said to them, "Behold, the king's son, let him reign as the Lord spoke concerning the sons of David." And so he stages this uprising, and he gets all of the the leaders of the guard and the armies and everything together, and they make this covenant, say, "Yes, we're going to put Joash on the throne because he's the rightful king. He is a descendant of David. He's the one who should be in authority over us." And this is fulfilling the law of honoring your father and mother. The heart of that commandment is respecting authority. And God had said that a son of David will reign over you in Judah forever, in fact. Forever. And so it is right and it is good to put the proper authority over Judah. And so he's wanting to keep the law and do what is right concerning what the Lord said concerning the sons of David. And this was not a secret thing. This was very in the open because he had to get everyone together, and it was brave. It was brave because he could have been killed if things didn't go right. And so he does this in the open. Jesus also had instructions for us when we do good works in the open. He said in the same way in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, doesn't this sound like the exact opposite of what we just read, where he said, "Do it in secret"? Again, Jesus isn't saying that doing it in secret or in public is the important thing. What he's saying is what's going on in your heart. If you can do these good works in public and reflect the glory back to him. Sometimes when people will come to me, I'm in the spirit, and I can reply, it's like, "Well, thank you for this praise. I'm able to do that because the Lord did so and so. I could do that because the Lord blessed me with the finances. The Lord blessed me with the skills. The Lord blessed me with the right circumstances," or whatever. And you turn the glory back to the Lord. The Lord is the one who is ultimately responsible for the good work. You see how that makes sense? And so if there is a temptation for you to get glory out of something that you feel that you need to do, then it's okay. Do that in secret. But if you can, do it. Let your light shine before men so that God will get the glory. And explain that you are doing this for his glory and not for your own. What else did Jehoiada do? Immediately, he gathers the people together and makes a covenant with all of the people that, let me read it. In 2 Chronicles 23, 16 and 17, "And Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and all the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down." The evil queen had set up this house of worship to Baal and all these idols and everything. And now, because of Jehoiada getting the people to make a covenant with the Lord, they are destroying all of this false worship. And he's being obedient again to the law. In Deuteronomy 5, "You shall have no other gods before me." These worship places of Baal are going to be torn down. We're going to get rid of, they even killed the prophet, the priest of Baal. And they're cleaning house. They're getting rid of all of that. And it's not unlike the passion that we need to have as believers when we are doing good. The early church in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. It was devotion. It was passion. It was zeal. It was, "I'm all in on this." And that is the heart that God desires for us when we are seeking to do good, to be fully devoted to him, just like Jehoiada is doing here. Also, in 2 Chronicles 23, he reestablishes worship in the temple, which has been in the shambles. He's setting up the priests. He's setting up the responsibilities of the priesthood. Let me read verse 18. And Jehoiada posted watchmen for the house of the Lord under the direction of the Levitical priests and the Levites whom David had organized to be in charge of the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing according to the order of David. And so he's going back to how the worship is supposed to be done, the way God has ordained to be worshiped, which has fallen out of use. And he's setting these things back up. And it's honoring God's command. You should not make for yourself a carved image, but you will worship me the way I want to be worshiped. Just as we have the same command in Hebrews 12, where it says, "Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." God desires to be worshiped His way, and our worshiping Him His way is a good work. And Jehoiada is setting this up not just for himself, but for all of the people, so that they can worship God in the right way again. And then in 2 Chronicles 24, King Josiah, Joash is getting instruction from Jehoiada, and he has decided we need to refurbish the temple. The temple's, it needs work, okay? And so he begins collecting money, and the people come and they bring money and they put it in the box. And in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 12, it says, "And the king and Jehoiada gave the collected money to those who had charge of the work of the house of the Lord." And so his business is about loving the things of God. Right here, the temple is needing some repairs, and he's focused on doing that work, and he leads that work, Jehoiada, in getting everything, getting the workers paid. They're hiring workers of various kinds. They're refurbishing the temple and making it great again. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul explains that we are God's temple. Did you know that? It says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" You, the church, are God's temple. "And that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." Jehoiada is doing the opposite of destroying God's temple. He's focused on the good work of building it up, of restoring it, of increasing its glory. And so we too can do that work in our temple, in building it up, in restoring. And we do that by fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, teaching one another. We build one another up, and so we are building up the temple of God. Also, there's the giving of the people, which isn't Jehoiada doing a good work, but the people were doing a good work in bringing their money and putting it in the box so that the temple could be rebuilt. And we're also commanded, another good work that we do is giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And notice it says, "Each one must give." Giving isn't an option. It's expected that we give. All that we have is from the Lord. And so giving back to the church just a tiny little bit of all that the Lord has given to us, it's not much to ask. And so he calls us then to give as we've decided in our heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but with cheer, with joy, out of thankfulness and gratitude for all that the Lord has given us. Okay, what else? 2 Chronicles 24:2, it says, "And Joash, the king, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest." Jehoiada, you know, think about this. Joash was a little boy in the temple for 6 years, and his whole family had been killed. And so Jehoiada is like his dad. And Jehoiada has been teaching him and training him all this time, following again the law of Moses, trying to be diligent to do the good works of obeying the law. And in Deuteronomy 6:7 it says, "You shall teach them diligently," the law, the commandments, "to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." Your whole life is about serving God, how to live your life in a way that pleases Him, how to follow His law, how to make decisions, how to trust in Him and rely on Him, how to spend time studying and in prayer. All these things He has been teaching Joash. That is a good work. And we're given the same commandment to train our children and to teach our children, but not just children, also one another. In Colossians 3, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." And this is how we do that building up of the temple, in teaching, admonishing one another, encouraging one another, and being vulnerable to go to another, to confess your sins to another, to ask someone to be accountable to you, to lean on someone for help when you're in need. All of these things are building up the church and building us up in our own individual faiths as we learn how to rely on one another and the Lord. And so we get to the end of Jehoiada's life. He lives 40 years during Joash's reign, and that whole time, Joash is a good king because he has Jehoiada there as his counselor and guide. And so we get to 2 Chronicles 24, and it says, "But Jehoiada grew old and full of days and died. He was 130 years old at his death." And then our key verse for today, "And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel and toward God and his house." So you can see now why the people loved him. He was responsible for overthrowing the evil queen, the foreigner, for setting up, saving Joash from being murdered, and then elevating him in the revolt to being the king, and then being his counselor for 40 years while the Lord blessed Judah. And so he was buried among the kings because he had made goodness in Israel. I was thinking about how Israel and how toward Israel and toward God and toward his house and what that might mean for us. And so I was thinking about the Israel was kind of two different things. We have the believers, you know, the worshipers of God. And in the same way, we are to do good works to help one another in the church. That is like our first focus. We do good works to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ and the Lord, in that fellowship, that community of fellowship that we have with one another. But also Israel was the geopolitical entity, the nation as well. And we're also called to do good works in the geopolitical world. If you live in Clearwater or Dunedin or St. Pete or wherever you live, that is a place where you can do good works to make a difference for the kingdom, or Florida, or the United States, or even the whole world. God has called us to be light, to be salt, and to make a difference in the world. And so we're called to do that. Okay? And also, how was Jehoiada doing good toward God? Well, first and foremost, it was his commitment to the Lord, his devotion to the Lord. "I'm going to follow the word and his commandments as best as I can. I want to live a holy life. I want to be different from the world." And he's striving to do that, even when it was risky and dangerous, like having a revolt. "I'm going to do the right thing because I want to please the Lord." And that's his focus. And we need to have that same focus, that same devotion, that zeal, that passion toward the Lord. And then toward his house, referring to the temple and the worship. And Jehoiada was focused on not just his devotion toward the Lord, but also the worship of the Lord and restoring the temple and the things that the Lord loves, right? And so we are also to be about the things that the Lord loves. Do you know that the church is called the bride of Christ. Christ loves the church like he loves a bride. And so how can we dislike the church if we want to be one with Christ? We have to love the things that he loves. And so we have to love the church. We have to be devoted to the things that God is devoted to. And he is surely devoted to the church. And so that's being committed to the community, to God, and to his house. We can't do any of this good unless Christ is supplying what we need. And so we look at Christ as the root of our goodness. Sometimes the gospel gets confused, skewed, and we think that we have to be good before we can go to Christ in repentance and find salvation. We think that we have to do these good works before. We have to get our right life, our life right before we go to the Lord, before we seek forgiveness, before we try and get saved. That's the opposite of how it works. In Titus 2, it says, "Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works." What he's about is actually saving us so that we can be good. We can't be good first and then try and get saved after. We have to be saved first. He gave himself for us to redeem us from the lawlessness that we were in. And we can't get out of that lawlessness until we go to him first. He redeemed us to purify us. We can't purify ourselves first. We go to him first and he purifies us. He redeemed us so that we would be a people zealous for good works. We have a purpose to do good works. That's why he saved us. He didn't just save us so that we could be his buddies or so that we could gather together on Sunday and worship him or so that we could be good people in the world and in our families. He saved us to do good works. That was his purpose. And Ephesians 2, it's the same thing, the same message. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." That's why he made us, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so if we are to be about doing good works, how can we do that? Well, we see how Christ is the source of that. We understand that love is the basis of it, but how can we increase our goodness? In Titus 3, it says, "Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful." We're talking about fruit of the Spirit, aren't we? We want to be a fruitful people. We want this fruit of the Spirit growing in us, and we want this fruit of goodness in us. And so we have to do this first step, which is to devote ourselves to good works. We have to consciously say, "I'm going to be about doing good works. That's going to be my focus. Christ saved me for that purpose. I'm going to be about it. I'm going to go and do good works. I want to be fruitful. So I'm going to devote myself to it." And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the reason why we have Scripture. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." Why? For all these things. "That the man of God may be complete, perfected, ready, and equipped for what? For every good work." The reason why we have the Scriptures, to study them, to be convicted by them, to grow in them, is so that we will be about good works. That's our purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 2. "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work." If you have a glass of water and it's not been cleaned, and there's stuff floating around in there, and you don't know how long that's been sitting on the counter, what's growing in there, that's not of any use to you. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It needs to be cleaned so that you can put clean water in there and be refreshed by it as it fulfills its purpose. And in the same way, he expects us, after we have devoted ourselves to goodness, after we have been saved by his grace, in our walk with him, he desires for us to live holy, more and more holy as we mature, to turn away from sin, to confess our sins, to strive to become more and more holy so that we will be better able to do good works. I don't want anyone, though, to feel like they have to wait until they're perfected to get started. It's a process. Everyone is where they are and where God wants them, and he's growing you at his pace for his purpose and his reasons. So you go about doing the good works, trusting that he's going to be growing you in your sanctification as well. In Philippians 2, it says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." We're able to do these good works because God is working in us. He empowers us. He enables us to do it. Sometimes it's hard. It is hard to love our enemies. It is hard to do good works sometimes. Sometimes it is a big sacrifice. Sacrifice of money, a sacrifice of time, a sacrifice of just emotional well-being. Sometimes it's hard. But God is working in us so that we will do these good things because it pleases him, brings him pleasure. And in 2 Corinthians 9, I told Michelle I wouldn't need a... you know, it's an overcoming thought to think that I can please God by doing good works for him. All right. 2 Corinthians 9, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." God is giving you the grace. He is pouring out the grace on you so that when you are about the business of doing good works, you have everything that you need. Everything, so that you can abound in every good week. All sufficiency in all things, at all times. Grace is just poured out upon you. So when you are in doubt, step out in faith. And God will just pour out his grace upon you so that you can do those good works and bring pleasure to him. Titus 2:7, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works." When you have church leaders, they are to be models of good works. You look to them and see how they are living their lives, what they are doing. You learn from them. You model after them. And when it's time to elect new elders and deacons, you look. Do they have fruit of the Spirit? Do they do good works? Should they be a model for me in my Christian walk? That is the man I'm going to nominate. That is the man I'm going to vote for. And it's not just those leaders, right? We are all models to somebody. We are a model to our spouse. We're a model to our children. We're a model to one another. And so we're all to be cognizant of that, realizing that we need to do good works in a way that brings others along, that brings others along with us, that they can learn how to do these good works with us. And that's why it says in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." That's what we're to be about. That is our focus. And that is our weapon against sin and temptation. When we think about our devotion to good works, I was called for a purpose. I was saved for a purpose to do good works. How can I go and do the sinful thing when the Lord takes pleasure in me doing the good works? And so we use our passion, our devotion to good works as a weapon against temptation so that we can stand firm in the faith and stand true to Him and grow in our faith. I got kind of riled up. I'm just going to close by reading the fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit in goodness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's pray. Lord God, You are so kind to us, so good to us. We think about all of the goodness that You have bestowed upon us. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to do good works, even as we consider how good You have been to us, the good works that You have performed toward us. May we be able to do good works for others and bless Your name and glorify Your name and glorify Your church, that Your people would be a beacon to the world of the truth, of the joy of salvation, of the transforming power of the gospel, of a kingdom that never ends, and a Savior that cannot be compared with anything in the world. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.